It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany, UK, Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 13th day of June 2023. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the Merry Wacky Zany real-time madcap multimedia extravaganza. That is The Horn chat room, the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. All time zones in between and the great globe round. And whatever time it is when you're listening to the podcast. And if, in fact, you are listening to the podcast, please, please, pretty please, like or follow or subscribe. Do whatever it is that the podcast platform calls it. But make sure that you get every program as it is uploaded and sent to wherever it is that you grab the podcast from. And add a comment here and there. It really, really is helpful. I know I say this every night, and I do that because Brother Deacon Asa gets really, really sad when I don't. But it helps improve the numbers, and it helps bring more people into the conversation. And that's fantastic. And, well, if you're listening live right now, and you should happen to pop over to the aforementioned Merry Wacky Zany, well, you'll be greeted by early arrivers Irish Dave and New Jersey Nick and Squeaky and Theo. And you will, of course, be capably moderated by all-around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan, Soup, and, of course, Horn Chief Economist, Chief Agronomist, Chief Mathematician, and Bud Trimmer Emeritus, Roger, in Oregon. Hi, I'm Robin. It is Titanic Tuesday on the Horn. And, well, something tells me that given what the day has been about, it will indeed be, well, Titanic. Because, of course, history has been made. Never before in the history of the Republic has a former president of the United States been indicted for violations of the criminal law on the federal criminal law. Nitwit Nero, though, put paid to that. My God, he's so crooked. They'll have to screw him into the dirt when he finally goes off to his long home. He was booked a little before 3, and then arraigned at 3. So happy arraignment, everybody. Happy new arraignment. And we will see how things shake out. There was weirdness on display in Miami today. One guy wandering around in the heat of Miami, Florida, with a real live, no kidding, pig's head on a stick. Go figure. Uh, I haven't seen a lot of anything about the maggots going bananas. So maybe they've do you think they've lost their taste for treason and insurrection and domestic terrorism? I don't. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So we say thank you to our 13th day of the month subscribers. That means thanks to Gary and Gaia in Oregon, and thank you to Paul. Thank you, Paul. Thank you very kindly indeed. And that leaves us... and thank you to... did I mention David yesterday? Because notifications were really weird, but thank you to David. Thank you so very much. David in New Mexico. Thank you. So we, in terms of fundraising, we stand at $1,550 in the hole. So that is today, yesterday, Friday, Thursday, and Tuesday, and $50 of the previous Friday. So we're close to a week and a half in the hole is what it boils down to. Fingers crossed. But thanks, everybody, for helping to keep this all going, this little experiment in independent broadcasting. So I thought some of you might like to know, I had to be down in Hinton, West Virginia today. And honestly, I don't know if I'd ever been there before. But merciful heavens, what an absolute... Hinton is in Summers County, West Virginia, and it sits on the banks of the New River, but it's a very different river from the New River that flows near where the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion. Instead of being a steep and narrow gorge, it's a broad Appalachian river valley, and Little Hinton sits there on the riverbank. And it was absolutely beautiful. Just lovely. Kind of reminded me of Fayetteville before the tourist boom hit, or it's a little bit like Lewisburg. It's old, a lot of old structures there. Town was founded in like 1874. Cobblestone streets. Yeah. Beautiful little town. And it overlooks the New River flowing, broad. The New River is broad at that point. And best of all was, I knew that I was down that way, so I grabbed my phone and placed a call, and Dr. Bill O'Brien and I got together for lunch. I hadn't seen Bill in ages, and he wanted me to send along his fondest regards to the entire Horn Family Community Congregation, and I need to have him on. He needs to be back on the Horn. He needs to be back and doing what he does ever so well, explaining, how we got to where we are via the history of the Republic. We talked about, for instance, the ability of the president to pardon himself, which I'm still not sure we're out of the woods on, and may yet see it. Think about how easy it would be for Nitwit Nero to dummy up a pardon. I'm sure someone would be willing to lie for him, even if he decided to draft it now. I wonder if the font he would use for it would be like Comic Sans. But Dr. Bill and I chatted about that and many other things. We had a little bite of lunch. And it was just so very good to see him. And I hope we'll all be hearing from him soon. I'll try to get him uh,
get him on the phone and we'll talk some civics and governmental philosophy, political economy, if you will, soon. But no, they didn't, the maggots didn't completely lose their cookies. It's interesting that neither he nor Walt Nauta, by the way, Walt Nauta, Walt's full name is Waltine. No idea. The allegation is that Walt was Nitwit Nero's co-conspirator. They were placed under bond. There was no travel restriction placed upon them, so that means that Nitwit Nero can zip about hither, thither, and yon between MAGA lardass and bed monster and just and of course the campaign trail where he can continue to talk. It's a hoax. It's a hoax. It's just like the impeachment hoax and the Russia hoax. Russia. And eventually he'll say or do something mean and hateful and evil and stupid. And then maybe he'll have to be hauled back into court to be told to behave himself. As expected, a magistrate judge took his not guilty plea. But, yes, the trial has been assigned to U.S. District Court Judge for the Southern District of Florida, Aileen Cannon. They took his fingerprints digitally so that he wouldn't have to have ink on his tiny Bulgarian fingers. I have to wonder, because I don't see anything in the coverage I've followed today. I don't know. I wonder if he was asked to surrender his passport. And I haven't seen that he has been, and that would be special treatment, of course. There was a big police presence in Miami for this shamefully historic moment. There were cops on horseback and bicycles and on foot. And it must be so gratifying to Nitwit Nero to know that literally dozens, not hundreds, not thousands, not tens of thousands, dozens of maggots got together near the federal courthouse. Being maggots, of course, they had their maggot hats on. Another guy, as I said, was carrying a pig's head on a pole. One dude had a sign that said, "Indict Jack Smith." And, of course, earlier today, on his rickety, wobbly, wheels-falling-off social media platform, Truth Social, Benedict Trump went on there with his little thumbs and called Jack Smith a thug and a lunatic. I guess he's trying to get a rise out of Smith. It's all he has. It's all he has at this point. You know, when you've got the law, pound on the law. When you've got the facts, pound on the facts. When you've got neither, pound on the table. Yeah, he said that
I did nothing wrong. Presidential Records Act. It's not even a criminal event. There's no criminality here. It's ridiculous.
Except he isn't charged under the Presidential Records Act. He's charged under the Espionage Act. And there is an abundance of criminality. At this point in time, I don't think this guy can go to the little former president's room without committing a freaking federal felony. Darlene answering my question, nope, not surrender his passport. The only restriction is that he cannot communicate with Walt Nauta. Fucker got special treatment. No mug shots either. That doesn't sound like a nation of equal justice under law, does it? No. As to Waltine Nauta, Matt in San Francisco says, this poor guy is facing many, many, many years, all for that traitor. I really don't understand the hold he has over folks. I think a sucker's born more than every minute. I think you're right, Matt. And Walt Nauta might want to pay attention to some other people who have stuck by Nitwit Nero. One former aide to Julius Geezer. Sarah Matthews spoke with Jake Tapper over at CNN. And she made it clear where she stands on all of this and what it means to be loyal to Geezer Disgustus.
Well, I would agree with Sarah. You know, I think he's absolutely dejected. I think that was a perfect word for you to use.
That's Stephanie Grisham.
He doesn't want to be arrested. I think he even just said that on an interview somewhere. He doesn't like that. He thinks that it's not elegant. He thinks that it takes away some of his power deep down. So he definitely doesn't like it. But being Trump, he's going to double, triple down as he's been doing, and he's going to fundraise off of it. He's going to play the victim, as you just said. And I did think it was really interesting that earlier it was said that he's keeping people closer. I think he's got to be feeling pretty desperate right now. He doesn't have a lot of staff. People are scared. People are getting in real trouble. And I think that's weighing heavily on his mind as well.
Sarah, how did you see him treat classified documents? Does any of this come as a surprise to you?
This wasn't something that I was necessarily privy to in my role being in the press office, but I do think that if we know anything about Trump, he wasn't your typical president, and he didn't always follow procedures and the norms of the institutions. So I wouldn't be surprised if that were the case, as this indictment clearly lays out.
Stephanie, Trump is not the only defendant today. His aide, Walt Nauta, is also part of the federal indictment. It is rare, but we have seen some people who were part of Trump world flip on Trump before. Michael Cohen comes to mind right now. But as of this moment, Nauta seems to be staying loyal to Trump. Do you know anything about their relationship?
Well, they were always close in the White House. Of course, he was his usher and personal aide, so he would be around him all the time, more specifically when we traveled and do, you know, go into the hotel rooms. And you get a lot of one-on-one time with the most powerful man in the world in a way that nobody else really does. So I believe that they're very close, but I think what people need to remember is, and this was alluded to in the previous interview, or the previous reporter said, he's got to be Walt, has got to be feeling trapped even a little bit right now. It is very expensive to have to hire attorneys to fight, of course, the justice system, but also to fight Donald Trump. He's famous for people keeping people up in litigation. I mean, I have been subject to it, and it's terrifying. And if you don't have the finances to do it, you're going to take any free lawyer you can get. And then another thing I'll say is to leave that circle has got to be scary right now, too, because it's all hands on deck and the wagons are circling.
Sarah, do you think Nauta is someone Trump can trust, who is, you know, in thrall, who believes all the crazy election lies, et cetera, et cetera? Or is it possible that he might flip? John Dean from Watergate fame was on the show yesterday and said that his message to Nauta would be get your own lawyer and start cooperating so that you don't have to go down with the ship.
I don't know Walt Nauta personally, so I can't speak to where his mind is at and how supportive he is of everything Trump says or does with the election lies and things like that. But I do agree with that advice. I think if we know anything about Donald Trump, loyalty is a one-way street with him. He demands it from everyone but gives it to no one. And so I hope that Walt Nauta is getting sound advice from his loved ones around him to hire a lawyer that is looking in for his best interest rather than Trump's best interest. And that's typically what happens when you have a Trump-paid lawyer. For example, you look at Cassidy Hutchinson, one of the key witnesses in the January 6th committee. She had a Trump lawyer at first, and they were encouraging her to do things to help out Trump, not to help out her.
One of the things I'm wondering for both of you, and I'll start with you, Stephanie, has to do with your reaction to the indictment, the description of how Trump behaved, bringing these boxes, showing off, according to the indictment, classified information to just people in the room with him, seemingly to push back on accusations against him or to impress them, telling aides to lie, according to the indictment, about turning over the documents to the FBI, et cetera. Was there anything in there that surprised you? And why? That's the big question. Why? Why did Donald Trump not just give these documents back? He would have avoided all of this. Stephanie?
Well, my short answer is no, not any of it surprised me. It all rang true. Even, you know, the why don't we just take those documents out? It wouldn't be a problem, right? That's so him. And then, you know, I saw him all the time. The public saw him all the time. Think about when we were looking at, you know, information about China at Mar-a-Lago and South Korea and North Korea. I mean, he talks about it all the time. Why didn't he give them back? It's because he thinks those are his. He's like a child holding on to his little toy train and nobody's going to take it from him. My reaction is I'm very upset, especially when I saw those pictures. Jake, you know, I practically lived at Mar-a-Lago. And so some of those places that I saw, I was even surprised for Trump that they could have been so, so careless with those documents.
Surprised, I tell you. Surprised. But loyalty is a one-way street, and Walt Nauta will be doing some hard, hard time if he stands by his man. So it remains to be seen what the Free Percenters and the Oath Keepers and Patriot Front and the like will do. We know that the Proud Boys and people like Matt Walsh and Matt Dysphoria Beard Walsh and little Benny, my dry wife, Shapiro. They're busy attacking Pride Month. Because, of course, they are. Yeah, just for example, and this isn't even in the United States, the disease spreads. We talked about last night the prosecution of a woman in England over her use of RU486, and she's going to be separated, taken away from her three born children, with whom she was doing perfectly well as a mom, and stuck in some English shithole for 2 years because she used RU486 after a time period established by men for the use thereof, and was charged under a statute that was passed in 1861. So yeah, the American disease is spreading. The maggot disease is spreading. The right wing, the conservative disease is spreading. And here it is making an appearance up in Canada. A pair of moms up there. Well, their 9-year-old daughter was competing in a track and field event when some cranky old dude, what happened to Canadians all being nice? One of the moms said she went to step up to compete for the grade 4 shot put final. And right before she went to throw, a grandfather of a student said, "Hey, this is supposed to be a girls' event, and why are you letting boys compete?" The mom, Heidi Starr, said, my daughter, Sis, born female, uses she, her pronouns, but she has a pixie haircut. And we saw that we knew this would happen. Heidi Starr went on and said he stopped the entire event. He also pointed at another girl who also had short hair. He then piped in and said, well, if she's not a boy, then she is obviously trans. At which point the old creep's wife started hooting that Heidi Starr, the mama, was a genital mutilator, a groomer, and a pedophile. And, of course, it has consequences. Carrie Starr, the other mom, said, this has destroyed our beautiful daughter's confidence, and she was inconsolably crying during this whole event and continued once it was over and we were leaving. Not to mention she was unable to concentrate on her track and field finals and the shot put throw for which she had qualified. But like I said, we know what these laws are about. They are about enforcing the patriarchy, and they are about enforcing so-called norms of femininity, so that a little 9-year-old girl with a pixie haircut can be upbraided and accosted by some cranky old right-wing Christian dude. Because that's just the world we live in. And because it's, well, Titanic Tuesday. And then there's Denver. For the first time in NBA history, the Denver Nuggets won the NBA Finals. Last night, they beat the, well, ironically, they beat the Miami Heat in 5 games. And so much celebration broke out in Denver. And so in the wee small hours of this morning, Tuesday, the 13th of June, some fans were celebrating the Nuggets NBA Finals victory. And a lawful gun owner broke out with his freedom protector, injured 9 people, and three of those were in critical condition because of our fetishistic approach to the Second Amendment to the Constitution. Police spokesperson Doug Shepman, quoted by ESPN, said, as far as what led up to this altercation that resulted in the shots being fired, that's still under investigation at this time. It did occur in the area where we had the largest gathering of folks celebrating during the night. A lot of the crowd had dispersed by the time the shooting happened, and could have been a lot worse. Guns Down America said at least 9 people were injured in a shooting in Denver last night. Crowds were gathered to celebrate the Nuggets' first NBA championship when an altercation led to gunfire. Arguments can easily turn into violence in a country with more guns than people. Another individual said, just heard about the mass shooting in Denver last night. We can't do anything in this country and not fear for our lives anywhere. When will we change? No time soon. It was less than a mile away from the arena where the finals had taken place. I'm sure at some point in time, I have no doubt that the usual suspects are screaming, it was a liberal, it was an Antifa, it was a trans liberal Antifa. Because, of course. Matt in San Francisco says, sick of this. I'm sick of everyone saying he's like a child and he just wanted the documents because he's a hoarder. He knows their value and was selling them to the highest bidder. It's always about the money with this trader. Everybody, lock him up. Lock him up. Lock him up. Maybe they can paint some gold flake curly cues on the walls of a cell at the Supermax in Florence, Colorado. He did finally find local counsel. For all I know, it was some guy from, it was the owner of Chico's Bail Bonds or some such there. I'm sorry, Chico's Bail Bonds just came to mind because that was the name of the sponsor they finally found for the Bad News Bears, if you remember that old movie. This has just become such a twisted place. A little bit of good news economics-wise. Data from the Consumer Price Index indicates that grocery prices have fallen somewhat. There's a little bit of an easing to the cost of putting food on your family as W. the Dumber once said. For the 11th straight month in May, inflation slowed. And apparently gasoline prices dropped to the point where it sent the previous May, April's prices increases into reverse. And so that's 11 straight months. 11 straight months. 11 consecutive months of inflation being less hot. And that's largely the doing of the Biden administration. But nonetheless, the maggots will continue to claim that, what did that paragon of intellect, Nancy Mace from South Carolina, stand say? Yeah, that's a hell of a thing from a guy who can't find his pants. In the Midwest, food costs are continuing to go up. Still bad in the West, too. Inflation has slowed in the Northeast, and gas prices have absolutely plummeted in the South. Again, no thanks to maggots. But in May, gasoline prices went down nationally at around 5.6%. They're down 20% from the previous year. Don't tell the maggots, right? So look, things are getting better. If Joe Biden can get a second term, and I can scarcely even imagine what happens if he doesn't, well, we might get back to something resembling normal, even understanding that normal is only a setting on a dryer. Meanwhile, since it is Titanic Tuesday, we take note of manifestations of Titanic intellect among the agates. Enter Senator Bill Cassidy of Louisiana Stan. He apparently believes that the White House gift shop is selling commemorative coins marking Nitwit Nero's second indictment. And Bill Cassidy does a thing on social media called the Outrage of the Week. For instance, Bill Cassidy may not even know that the White House gift shop is not part of the government. But again, he's not going to smarten up the chumps. So he said yesterday, the White House gift shop should not be selling a commemorative coin marking Donald Trump's indictment. This is totally outrageous. You got to admit it's poor taste. It's the wrong thing to do. Have a sense of decency, White House gift shop. Not a word from Senator Bill Cassidy for those 4 years of not being able to. Not be able to turn around with an umbrella open without running across, poking somebody with a "lock her up" T-shirt, or hey, my one of my personal favorites, the "fuck your feelings" T-shirts. No, that doesn't bother Bill Cassidy at all. And like the White House gift shop isn't part of government. One individual pointing out, it's totally outrageous that Bill Cassidy is a physician but doesn't have the brains to do 2 minutes of research to debunk his own nonsense about the White House gift shop. Another individual called him an utter turnip brain. Some people saying, gee, Bill, thanks for that. I got to run out and spend $100 on that coin right away. And no less than Snopes has pointed out that the White House gift shop is not part of government. But when have the maggots ever been moved by anything resembling, intelligence? My God.
Outrage of the week. The White House gift shop is putting out a commemorative coin for Donald Trump's indictment. Now, whatever you think about it, whatever party you are, you gotta admit it's poor taste that it's capitalizing upon something without his permission, I'm sure. It's the wrong thing to do.
That just beats cat's bucket. Poor taste. Wonder how ketchup thrown at a wall tastes. And without his... because he would never capitalize on something without someone else's permission, would he? I mean, he'd never wave around secret military plans among the goons and creeps who frequent his nasty little golf courses. And
you're not supposed to see this, but don't look too close. Yeah, look, I've got it. It's mine.
Nah, he'd never do it. Stay classy, Bill Cassidy. What I find interesting, though, is I wonder what's the pedigree of this. who started this? Was it at Newsmax? Was it somebody over on the man who looks like rancid hot dog water smells rickety podcasting platform? Because Senator Bill Cassidy is not running around spending time. The vast majority of a sitting senator's time is actually spent fundraising. So Bill Cassidy doesn't have time to just happen to notice that the White House gift shop, not a part of the government of the United States, there should probably be an asterisk, you know, kind of like not affiliated with the Columbia Broadcasting System. The Columbia School of Broadcasting, you too can be a broadcaster. No. This is something that's been passed along to him by the maggot outrage machine. And who knows if it'll get legs. Joe Biden's counterfeiting the currency and done come up with a $100 Trump indictment coin. That's unconstitutional. It's in the Constitution. The stupid is strong with these. Steve in New York points out, sense of decency? He's been asleep for 4 years or he's just a fucking moron. I don't know why everything has to be so binary with you, Steve. It is entirely possible that he's been asleep for 4 years, and he's also just a fucking moron. Morons go to sleep. Come on, logic, it's a thing. You know I love you, Steve. So, something tells me that's not going to be the last we see of that dumbass story. But the maggots are outraged. They're still grunting around online, especially at the Donald. Still calling for civil war, for people to be slaughtered in the streets, preferably unarmed ones, because the maggots don't ever want to shoot at anybody that can shoot back. Oh, and thank you to Ralphs. Ralphs said earlier she wanted to put a $25 challenge on the table for Nitwit Nero's arrestment day. And so that could get us down to $1,500 if somebody would like to meet Ralphs' 25. Thank you, Ralphs. You are a dear. And I do, and we do, so appreciate it. Lee in New York says, hey, Robin, Bill Cassidy has to do a lot of fundraising. The gift shop sells commemorative coins. Hey, maybe they can sell Bill Cassidy commemorative coins. Or, here, let's workshop this a little bit. Bill Cassidy is a Titanic intellect coin. So Bill Cassidy's face on the obverse and on the reverse, the Titanic sinking beneath the wave with a grinning iceberg in the distance. You do have the entrepreneurial spirit, Lee. Nobody's ever going to accuse Bill Cassidy of being a member of Mensa, I don't think. It's worth remembering that the Supreme Court of the United States is still in session till the end of the month. Whoo, they're going to fuck us come the end of June. I mean, I don't have a crystal ball or anything. It's just if, as the bard says, past is prologue. But they got one right. Yesterday they did. They turned down a lawsuit, a petition for certiorari. In other words, they refused to hear a case from some mouth-breathing, knuckle-walking freak in North Carolina who picks his teeth with his toenail clippings. Because 2 years ago, the state of North Carolina decided that they would stop. And again, this is 2 years ago. We're talking about 2021 here. Not 1866 or 1926 or 46. No. No, in 2021, the state of North Carolina decided it might finally be a good time to stop offering Confederate flag vanity plates. And so the North Carolina chapter of the Sons of Confederate Veterans, I don't think there are any. How old would the son of a Confederate veteran have to be? But no, nonetheless, the Sons of Confederate Veterans sued over North Carolina's choice, and that they said that their freedom of speech was being infringed upon. And with not another word, the Supreme Court today just said, no. The central holding having come in 2015 when the Supreme Court said that vanity plates, maybe we just don't need those. A good friend of mine years and years and years ago, we both had, it was a different time, we both had Porsche 911s. And his vanity plate read Achtung. And mine read Schnell. Whatever. But no, the Supreme Court said in 2015 that vanity plates with everything from choose life to conserve water, that the state could prohibit images like the Confederate flag because license plates are government speech. Now, at the time, Sammy Bad Breath Alito dissented, and so did old Balls and Strikes John Roberts, I guess, who thinks that back then he still thought that racism was a thing of the past. And two others who were on the court who have since left the court. Would one of those be Fat Dead Tony Scalia? But they said, no, the government controls what goes on license plates, and that's just fine. And so the North Carolina Department of Transportation sent a letter to the Sons of Confederate Veterans. You remember, how many years ago was it? It all piles up. How many years ago was it, though, that we found out that the Sons of Confederate Veterans were getting all warm and fuzzy with pro-Putty white supremacist groups in Mother Muscovy? Well, you know, so not exactly fans of democracy. Or much in the way of fans of freedom, really. Fans of treason. But The Department of Transportation said they would no longer issue or renew specialty license plates bearing the Confederate battle flag or any variation of that flag, because that image is highly offensive to at least most people, decent people. They did tell the Sons of Confederate Veterans, by Jove, they could have their vanity plate, they just couldn't have no Confederate flag on it. But what's the point in having a Sons of Confederate Veterans vanity license plate if you can't have the flag of treason on it, you know, the devil's diaper? I wonder how much the Sons of Confederate Veterans, you don't just go up to the, it's not the Bugs Bunny cartoon where Bugs screams that he'll take it to the highest court of the land and you wind up, and he winds up climbing up this steep mountain, getting all out of breath and huffing and puffing. No. It costs a lot of money to even petition for cert to the Supreme Court. And you gotta wonder where they came up with the money from. Mother Muscovy, perhaps? It's possible. Duh. Lee in New York serving as the Horn Ad Hoc Sons of a Confederate Veterans Research Department. The last children of the Civil War, the last one died just over 3 years ago, according to Wikipedia. You guys are so fun. Irene Triplett, born January 9th, 1930, died May 31st, 2020, was the last recipient of an American Civil War pension. Her father, I remember this story at the time, her father had started out fighting for the traitors, and then realized how awful what he was doing was, and took up arms in service of the Republic. Irene Triplett was born to Mose Triplett when Mose was 83, and her mama, Elida Hall, was 34. Talk about May and December. It was Mose Triplett's second marriage. And Irene Triplett did, in fact, grow up in North Carolina. And what's interesting is that back when Irene Triplett was growing up in Wilkes County, North Carolina, she was teased by her classmates who denounced her daddy as a traitor. Remember, that's Wilkes County, North Carolina. They were not referring to the fact that he fought for the actual traitors. They were referring to the fact that he walked away from the Confederacy and took up arms in defense of the Republic. Poor soul. She was developmentally delayed, mentally disabled, probably from the fact that she was beaten regularly by her parents and her school teachers. From 1938 until 2020, she got $73.13 a month from the Department of Veterans Affairs. She was a helpless child of a veteran. She spent, God, 27 years in a poorhouse with her brother and her mother, and eventually was shuffled around from nursing home to nursing home. But she loved both chewing tobacco and gospel music. somehow I don't think honoring her was what the Confederate veterans had in mind applying for their license plate. Hey, y'all, I just got a phone call. I got to close the program out this evening. I'm so sorry. I'll be back tomorrow. Everything's okay, but this is going to require all of my attention. Later.